Details at northeastern.edu/Charlotte. This is WFAE News.
Support for NPR comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science, technology, and economics in the modern world.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. You've seen skateboarders around town. Perhaps you thought they were just kids out having fun. Well, some of them are, but skateboarding is also a serious sport requiring skill, and developing that skill requires practice. Lots of practice. In Charlotte, getting that practice forces many skateboarders out on the streets and sidewalks, the stairways, even stair railings. I've seen them do it. And that's because we don't have a skate park that's set up for that kind of skating. Skateboarders certainly want one. They have an idea about where to put one, and they may actually be getting some help from an unlikely source, the city, or the county in this case, I suppose. And that's because Charlotte is in line to snag the X Games in 2014, and we kind of need a facility for participants to use. So no more skating around the issue. Let's get to a discussion of the sport, a possibility of a facility, and the possibility that ESPN's X Games may come to town next year. John Frazier is a Wake Forest MBA who opened Black Sheep Skate Shop in Southend 10 years ago. It's a 100% skater-owned and operated shop, and aside from selling merchandise, its mission is to support and foster all of the diverse and creative elements that skateboarding encompasses. That's according to their website. He's brought a skateboard for us. It's autographed. Welcome to the program. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to be here.
Got the city of Charlotte. What is that, Trade and Try-On?
Trade and Try-On, yep. Downtown Charlotte.
That's pretty fancy stuff.
Thank you.
Lee Jones is director of the Capital Planning and Alliance Development Services Division of the Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation Department, whose job it is to direct the planning, design, and construction of park and recreation facilities. He, too, is in our Spirit Square studio. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Ted Duncan is a landscape architect with international experience but deep local ties, who focuses on urban design and the role of parks in improving the life of communities. He's a senior associate at Stantec, one of the consultants working on the Bryant Park renovation and master plan, which skateboard enthusiasts would like to see include a skateboard facility, and is I believe it will. Is that correct?
That's the plan right now, Mike. We're moving forward. Looks good.
The plan right now. Those plans are subject to change. It's a legislature gotten involved with it yet?
That's a Lee question.
That's right. And last but certainly not least, Chuck Powell is a Charlotte native who has been a skateboarder. I've known Chuck for what?
About 20 years, or about 17 years.
About 17 16. Years. I had no idea you were a skateboarder.
You can't tell by the work clothes, Mike.
Not at all. 28 years he's been a skateboarder with a passion for skating ramps and bowls, an account executive for CBS Radio in Charlotte, among them KISS. He was active in organizing an online petition to host the X Games and was influential in getting Grayson Skate Park built about 8 years ago. Thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Work for radio stations and you have to come and be on our station to get on the air. I've been saying that there is no facility or the wrong kind of facility for skateboarders to practice, but you, Chuck, were influential in getting a skateboard park built at Grayson Skate Park.
Correct, yeah.
What's wrong with that one?
You know, it's not that it's right or wrong. It's a very popular facility. It's been in use or been there for 8 years. Yeah, the thing that's kind of a challenge with skateboarding that it's kind of hard to, I guess, really, you know, for a lot of people to understand this is skateboarding is, it's very individualistic, I don't want to say no rules type of sport, but it is a very free-flowing, you know, non-structured type of sport. Most skateboarders like to skate in the street. They don't like to wear pads. They don't like to wear helmets, and that's probably 80% of skateboarders. There are a lot of street elements in the current park that skateboarders do like. It's basically a park that's catered towards bull riders, ramp riders, street riders, but it's very heavily regulated. So in other words, most skateboarders don't want to wear pads, but you have to wear full pads in this park. Okay. You have to check in, pay. If you aren't wearing all your pads, you'll get basically tossed out.
And is that park, the Grayson Skate Park?
Correct.
Run
and
by
a lot
the
of
county?
Yeah, correct. And a lot of it's based on, you know, statewide laws and regulations.
Right.
So the employees are just doing their jobs, but at the same time, what we're looking for is more of a street plaza type of park that's kind of our...
And would the Bryant skate park that's being proposed be that kind of park?
Correct.
Wouldn't that have the same regulations because of county control and state regulations, et cetera, that the other
parks? That's what we got to work on.
Well, that brings Lee Jones quickly into the conversation. Talk to me about these regulations, because he's right. A lot of these guys who and girls, I suppose, who are involved in skateboarding, are kind of open and free. They don't want to be fettered in with rules and regulations.
You know, you can look at that from a lot of different perspectives. I mean, take somebody riding a motorcycle. A lot of people ride motorcycles. They don't want to wear the helmets, but the law requires that they do in most states. Mm-hmm. Here in Mecklenburg County, we follow the state statute that requires a certain level of safety and safety equipment for that to happen. But we do see, and that's with the traditional design of a skate park, but we do see in other jurisdictions and in other states, and I use Colorado, Denver, Colorado, where that's not required, and they have a lot of skate plazas. Mm-hmm. So we would have to work legislatively to make something like that happen.
Now, as I understand, one of the problems with Grayson Skate Park, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it is a pay-to-skate location. Is that right?
It is.
Why? Because do you have to pay to play basketball on the courts in our county
and
parks?
Do you have to pay to play
softball on the fields? Do you?
Yes, you do.
You do.
If you're a league and you want to use a court, if you want to have the court specifically reserved for you or specifically reserved for your use, you would have to pay. But there is walk-on uses at our facilities.
Even for the skaters?
I believe at sometimes for the skaters, but at the peak times, in most cases, you have to pay.
Now, Josh, you own Black Sheep Skate Shop out in South End on Camden Road, and you're an MBA, so you're a smart guy. And you obviously saw a niche, and you have filled it for 10 years and become very successful. As I understand it, you are the epicenter of skating in Charlotte.
Seems to be, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a meeting spot, a good location for people to meet up and congregate and talk about skateboarding and go skateboarding. So
you understand the culture, you understand the equipment, you understand the people involved, you understand what they want.
Absolutely.
You're a businessman. Why don't you build your own park? Seriously.
As you mentioned, the pay to skate model is pretty tough. doesn't work. To put a fence around skateboarding or to regulate skateboarding or put rules or, make people pay to skateboards, it's not been too successful. I can probably count on one hand the number of parks that I know around the country that have been successful with that model. So it's a tough business. But I think, one of the main reasons, that we're having this conversation, and I'm very excited to have this dialogue, is because of the growth of Charlotte in general. The population here is growing, obviously. Also, the growth of the popularity of skateboarding. I've looked at some data from the National Sporting Goods Association, and based on that data, they say that approximately 22,000 to 25,000 participants estimated in the Charlotte area based on the population are skateboarders, and about roughly half of those are, frequent participants or core skateboarders. So you're looking at 12,000 to 13,000 avid skateboarders, which means they skate more than 26 times per year, and they only have one public facility.
And I would think you see a lot of them because you sell the equipment for this. Other people do too, but you're the kind of go-to guy if you're an aficionado.
I'd like to think that I have my finger on the pulse of the younger guys that are skateboarding and come in contact.
You're like the boutique gaming computer builder. If you're a gamer on a computer, you're not going to want to necessarily buy something from Hewlett Packard. You're going to want to buy it from a boutique store. So if you're a serious skateboarder, they're going to come to you. So you have your finger on the pulse here. But the 22,000 people that you mentioned, where do they skate if they don't go to the skate park?
Well, the most popular place for people to skate is just in the streets, in the neighborhood. Downtown for years has been a very popular mm-hmm. location. But again, when I was younger, when Chuck and I were younger, downtown wasn't quite as busy. So it was essentially a skate park, We could come down here and skate and didn't run into any problems. But a lot of that has changed over the last 10 years, especially.
For people who think this is a fringe event, and they may think this because they see people downtown on the weekends particularly skating up and down the public plazas and on the staircases and on the railings, there are 18 million skateboarders in the world, And according to, I think, see, I mean, where does this come from? The National Sporting Goods Association, skateboarding grew more than 15% in the past 10 years. It led the way of all sports with a 74% growth rate. Skateboarding grew from 5.8 to 10.1 million participants between 1998 and 2007, far more than other sports. How do you explain that?
Well, it's leading the way in a growth sport. So, you know, when you're looking at the number of facilities here locally has actually declined during that time period of growth. So we went from having two public facilities to only having one currently. And that's while, you know, skateboarding has outpaced growth of all, you know, sort of traditional sports.
What kind of demand do you get, Lee, at the skateboard park?
No, we're starting to get a lot more demand. I mean, the park is usually fairly full during the weekend, especially on the weekends. I'd say 10 years ago, or I'll go back a little further, back in 1989 when our first master plan was completed, there was very little request for skating. When we did our updated master plan in 2008, we found there was a significant change in demographic and amenities requests in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, and we've seen a significant increase in the request for skate parks.
And before we started the program, Chuck, you said something that was pretty interesting, and it's obviously on the face of it, it's probably true, that we have more than one softball field at the parks around Charlotte. We have more than one tennis court in the parks around Charlotte, but we only have one skateboard park. Is that because the demand has not been recognized? Is it because people see this as a kind of outlaw sport? Why?
That's a very good question, Mike. I can't tell you with 100% certainty, but I will say this. You know, depending upon the size and the scope of a skate park, there's a lot of planning. They're not necessarily cheap. I mean, mm-hmm. Grayson Skate Park.
Yeah, softball field is grass.
here's the thing. It's as an example, Grayson is 13,000 square feet. Uh-huh. Took 5 years from the petition to getting it built. A lot of work in that time period, and I think it was the price of steel and concrete went up significantly from the initial time that it was going to be built to when it was done. Mm. I think it was projected to be about $300,000 to build. It ended up being $600,000 to build. So depending upon the size and the scope, it takes time, it takes money, and you know, you got to plan for that. So it's not just a, hey, let's just throw something up and it happens in a day.
As will become fully evident in a matter of seconds, I know nothing about this. So as I understand it, Grayson Skate Park is a full pad kind of bowl park. Is that what I'm talking about?
A huge bowl. It's, I say huge. It's 5.5, 6.5, 10.5 feet deep. It takes up about 1/3 of the facility. Mm-hmm. The other 2/3 of the facility is made up of ramps, bowl corners, ledges, rails. It's got all types of skateboarding elements in it.
Most people know what we're talking about. There may be some who don't. So tell me how a bowl is used.
The best way I could describe what a skateboard bowl would look like is look at a swimming pool, mm-hmm. But you skateboard in it on a bigger scale.
Okay.
So that's kind of how skate bowls evolve.
And what is missing in Charlotte at the moment, aside from several of those, which I'm sure you'd like to have several sure. of those facilities, is our facilities that imitate what the streetscape provides.
Correct.
A skateboarder.
Correct. And we have some of that at Grayson. I think the challenge is no one's going to want to ride these types of street facilities if they have to wear full pads.
Right. What's a streetscape provide a skater that is not being provided at the skate park?
I think in general, you know, Grayson caters to a little bit of an older generation of skateboarder. You know, what we're seeing around the country and seeing, I guess, the predominant trend is more of a skate plaza, which, you know, replicates a true street environment.
Which would have what?
You know, benches, ledges, stairs, rails. You know, something that from a non-skate outsider perspective doesn't readily appear to be a skate park.
We have to stop. We'll come back and I'll follow up on that with Josh Frazier. Lee Jones will bring Ted Duncan into this conversation, I promise, and Chuck Powell is here. We're talking about skateboarding in Charlotte and the possibility of the X Games coming here. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Culture and Heritage Museums, hosting the annual Battle of Huck's Defeat Military Camp Life, music, crafts, and presentations from the colonial period this weekend at historic Brattonsville, chmuseums.org. The Catawba River is a lifeline for millions of people in this region, 1.7 to be exact, but the river has been labeled in recent years as endangered by multiple organizations. Well, we have a a Catawba River keeper who has been working on removing that label, but that takes the cooperation of many disparate entities, and we'll check in with him on the health of the river today, the impact of the recent rains, the threat of coal ash, and more tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the battle over same-sex marriage returns to the states. How the fight will play out in legislatures, courts, and ballot initiatives.
Join us for the Diane Rehm Show this morning and every weekday morning from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, here on listener-supported public radio, we're 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about skateboarding in Charlotte, the need for a skateboard park in the eyes of skateboard participants, the possibility of the X Games coming to Charlotte, which will raise our profile nationally and internationally since ESPN broadcast this all over the world, with Josh Frazier, who's the owner of the Black Sheep Skate Shop in Southend, which is the epicenter, I'm told, of skateboarding culture in Charlotte. And it's where you go to buy all the equipment, etc., among other places. Chuck Powell is a longtime skateboarder and a responsible citizen.
Well, sometimes.
That's debatable, yeah.
He's been a skateboarder for 28 years and works for CBS Radio Group here in Charlotte. Lee Jones is Division Director for the Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation Department, and Ted Duncan is a Senior Associate with Stantec. They're working on the design of the renovation of Bryant Park, which is scheduled to include a new skate park, which we will talk about shortly. I want to get back to the streetscape and what it provides skateboarders and what a street, what a skateboard park that emulates that would provide. You mentioned benches and things like that. These are not for sitting. These are for jumping up on and skating across, correct?
Correct.
How did all this happen? Skateboarding wasn't around when I was a kid. We roller skated, but we didn't skateboard. So how did it become... How did it develop that people would just get on these skateboards and go down the street and jump up on benches without stopping and then come down staircases and railing? How did that happen? Seriously.
Oh, I could wax and wane about skateboard history for hours. But in short, part of the appeal of skateboarding is melding the physical aspects with the creative aspects. It's got a very urban appeal to it. So I think you have a lot of guys who... You know, they grow up and maybe they didn't have a ramp in their backyard or they didn't have access to a skate park. So they had to make do with what they had available. And oftentimes that was the streets. So you have a whole evolution of tricks and a style of skateboarding that has become the predominant style of skateboarding because it's more accessible. And that involves things that you would find in an urban landscape.
When did it become a sport? As opposed to a recreational activity.
You know, I personally, philosophically, still cringe at the idea of it being considered a sport. To me, it's more of an art form or a lifestyle. But in general, over the last, you know, maybe 10 years, as major corporations have jumped into the fray with the X Games and ESPN and endorsements from Nike and Ford, and it's a huge business.
Because this is like a combination to me of surfboarding, skating, skiing,
snowboarding,
yeah, it's all of those.
Most of those sports have taken influence in terms of the tricks and evolution from skateboarding.
And most of those sports get a lot of respect. Does this get a lot of respect?
You know, historically it has not, and that's, you know, part of the reason why I named the shop Black Sheep. You know, it was sort of
that's what I figured.
celebrate. You know, the creativity and the individuality of the sport and inherent to the sport, and that's something that we want to try to encourage.
And you mentioned that this was an art form and a lifestyle. The art form, I understand, because this really does take incredible skill to do some of the things that you see these people doing on these skateboards, and that takes a lot of practice. It doesn't happen overnight, and a lot of kids today who want to be Hollywood stars or rock stars think that all you have to do is wake up and start a Twitter feed and you can become one. That is not the case with this. You have to have the chops to do this.
Yeah, I think you're right, and you know, an important aspect of it is style, and it's your approach, and it's your trick selection, and it's how you approach skateboarding, not just what tricks you can do and what you're physical capable of. So,
and it's also a lifestyle. You said, tell me about that. Is it like a surfer guy, surfer dudes? Is it the same thing?
Well, I think there's some similarities there. I think it's a decent comparison because there's a whole fashion aspect, there's a whole music aspect and art aspect that surrounds the culture.
Now, is this something? I mean, the park system understands softball players. They get tennis players. Are you guys equipped to understand the skateboard culture and what these people want and need?
We are now. We are now, and I mean before this program, we are now with folks like Chuck and with folks like Josh, who've, and with this community who've come out to our public meetings as we talk about our master plan and say, this is what we want. You see it in the development of the museum district downtown when kids were out there on skateboards, young people were out there on skateboards using those flat, resilient surfaces. You go down South Boulevard, when the construction market was down, there were all these pad sites out there. There are kids out there roller skating on those, skateboarding on those pad sites. So there is a definitive need for this amenity, and what we are doing now is planning to incorporate these amenities in the development of a lot of our future parks.
Ted Duncan, you're one of the people involved in helping to plan Bryant Park. Let's locate that park for people who don't know where it is. It's at the foot of, it's at the corner of Moorhead and
Freedom.
And Freedom Drive, which is right down the hill from WBTV.
Yeah, just about a mile from the stadium.
Right. This is a place that is how big?
There's 17 acres total.
Okay, and right now, much of it is what? Fields, a baseball field, a softball field rather, maybe a football field in there?
Over half of it is property that's been recently acquired, and that generated the master plan or the need for a master plan. There's about 6 acres actively in use in the park right now.
Okay, so there's room to expand. And the
Absolutely.
Place that you want to put this skateboard park, for people who know the area, is right behind what used to be, and may still be, a bank.
It's not a bank anymore.
Okay, it's right behind that. So it's not quite on the corner of Moorhead and Freedom, but it's pretty close in proximity to the corner. And as I understand it, that this park is part of a whole vision plan for that part of the city. And you see restaurants and pedestrian ways, and it would be completely change the character of that area.
Well, absolutely, Mike. And, you know, it's interesting, the culture of a skate plaza and skaters themselves, I mean, it's fascinating. And you look at blending that in, and as opposed to saying, well, how do we discourage this or how do we control this? You know, we're very excited about how do you utilize this? How do you use this as an activity that activates and highlights your park? So we're going to put it at our hard corner. We're going to put it up at the urban edge. And we think it's all about Josh has talked about the culture a bit. I think one other thing about the culture, and I don't know if skaters so much want to be seen, but they certainly don't mind being seen. And for most sports, you know, that's not the way it works, right?
Right.
You're going to work at your tennis serve. You don't want to be at the corner of the intersection, right?
Right.
These guys do, and they're willing to be part of the street and the art and the culture of life.
Well, they're used to being seen. They're used to be doing this on the street, so it's no big deal for them to have passersby watch them or that's probably what they want. Is that not what you want? I mean, if you're really good at what you do, don't you want people to see it?
You know, I suppose we'll take what we can get, I think, in terms of facilities. I just think there's a huge need for it. We're very excited about the prospect of working alongside Parks and Rec to make this happen.
Well, as Ted was talking, I was wondering what you were thinking, because I'm sure that it's been a long slog.
It's been a few years.
Toward respectability and toward getting people to listen to you and toward getting the reality, because we went through a recession where nothing was going to happen, and we're coming out of it hopefully now. But it's been a long time coming for you guys who have wanted this for years. So when you hear somebody like Ted, when you hear somebody like Lee Jones say, you know, we need this, we want this, we want to be able to open ourselves up to this kind of thing, what goes through your head?
I'm very encouraged by the dialogue. However, I guess, still very realistic about how long this is going to take, and still a lot of questions in my mind in terms of next steps and time frames and how to facilitate this process and gain some community support and really, you know, push this along, because I know that money seems to be an issue and budgets seem to be an issue. So that's definitely a concern.
This also sounds, from what I've read, like a turnaround on many different frames, because this this will get people off the streets, and because there is no facility, kids and young people are using, and not just young people. I talked to somebody yesterday. We spoke to somebody yesterday who's 50 years old, who's a skateboarder.
Sure. Chuck and I are 40. So, yeah, and that's, you know, that's pretty true, consistent with what I see coming in the shop. You know, we have a whole generation of skaters that are in their 40s who have children, and they're bringing their children in to purchase skateboarders. So it's multi-generational.
Kids, my boys ride, and that's become
– you're a bad influence, right?
Something like that.
So the point I was going to get to is that because it's been a street sport for so many years and the streets – are getting more crowded, and you guys are getting crowded out at your own admission because it's becoming more dangerous. There's more pedestrian traffic downtown. There's more car traffic downtown, even on the weekends now, that it's becoming more and more difficult and more dangerous for you guys to do what you want to do. And I understand you say that the skateboarders downtown are being targeted by the police. They're being arrested. They're being issued tickets. They're having their skateboards confiscated by the police. It costs more to get the skateboard back than it does to buy a new one, which keeps you in business. How serious is that? I mean, how aggressive is that activity downtown by police?
In my opinion, more aggressive than it needs to be. You know, I feel like they are being targeted.
Is it because they are skating in public areas or because they are skating on private property as well as public areas? It's hard to tell the difference downtown.
Yeah, a little bit of both. But, yeah, I mean, to me, it's it's a little extreme to give someone a $200 ticket for skateboarding. You know, I feel like there's better ways for us to deal with the problem or deal with the issue, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just question how much of a deterrent that is, and how much, if it's a great use of resources for our law enforcement and our legal system to be burdened with that. So
there are 22,000 young people or people who skateboard in this area. How many skateboard parks would we need to accommodate them?
That's a great question. I mean, I looked, we talked a little bit earlier about facilities here in Charlotte-Mecklenburg. You know, I looked on the website, the Parks and Rec website. Looks like there's roughly, I counted 60 basketball facilities, 33 tennis, 11 baseball. Maybe these guys can answer what would be appropriate for that number of users.
What would be appropriate? Can you figure that out in your head?
In my head, I could come up with a guess as to what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I know that we need to incorporate a skate park amenity in our parks. I mean, our parks are set up such that you have a neighborhood park that's up to 20 acres, a community park that's like from 20 acres to 100 acres, and a regional park that's for anything above 100 acres. I think in those larger parks, we can certainly incorporate sort of amenity.
What would Freedom Park be?
Freedom Park would be a large neighborhood park.
Really?
Yes.
What's a regional park?
A regional park is a park of the size that I told you that incorporates the same amenities that you would have in a neighborhood park and a community park, but on a larger scale. You'd have programmable fields.
One.
Name a regional park, the New Matthews Regional Sports Complex.
Okay,
constructed right now in South Charlotte.
And in comparison to what you need for tennis courts or what you need for a softball field, how much space do you need for a good skateboard park, whether it's a bowl park or whether it's a streetscape kind of park?
What's the size of Grayson currently?
It's 13,000 square feet.
So that's like a third of an acre. I would think
how does that come? I have no idea.
A third of an acre. You know, an acre is 43,560 square feet.
So a football field, soccer field.
So you need a soccer field size area.
Well, that's an acre.
That's 1 acre.
So if you take a third of that, even down to a quarter.
Okay.
And I think, Mike, the real opportunity is that it doesn't take a full-blown bowl heavy-duty skate park. We can have skate spots located in the perimeters or on the urban edges of almost any facility have.
What about the Greenway? I've seen skateboarders on the Greenway. What about that?
Well, the Greenway is a multidimensional recreation amenity that you have people walking, jogging, pushing bikes, and
but
things like that.
But if you can have spots.
Well, you know, you probably have the opportunity to do that in areas that grow out. Our greenways are typically 10 feet wide and paved. That'd be a lot of that'd be a very condensed area to have those multiple amenities there. But in areas where we have additional land adjacent to the greenway, like where we have our trailheads where people come and park, we could incorporate that off of one of those areas.
I've seen skateboarders on the greenway. Is that discouraged? Is that something that's dangerous for the pedestrians, dangerous for the skateboarders, an annoyance for people, not just people on foot, but people on their skateboard? Is it an annoyance to have to deal with that interference?
I think the thing about the greenway that's unique is that anyone can be offended by anything. I mean, people get bitten by dogs on the greenway, so you know, outlaw dogs on the greenway. You know, and people,
only if they're on skateboards.
The greenway is organized chaos. You know, there's always bikes, scooters, big wheels, walkers, joggers.
But is skateboarding discouraged?
I think skateboarding is discouraged in all the parks, as far as I'm aware, except for Grayson. But you know, I'm very excited about the opportunity. You mentioned the skate spot opportunity. I think, you know, to me that makes a lot of sense, and we're seeing that as a, you know, trend in other mm-hmm. communities across the nation is to incorporate. And it doesn't need to be a large amount of space or cost right. a lot of money. So, you know, 10,000-15,000 square feet in an existing park, or you know, maybe an underutilized park, or, you know, I think it's a great way to inject some energy and activate that area.
Now, I know, Ted, that you're not specifically involved in designing the actual skate park component of Bryant Park, but your company is.
And yes, we have a great designer, Mike McIntyre, who previously from San Diego, grew up on the West Coast, Tony Hawk era, out of our Boston office with Sports Group, and he's currently working on a BMX super track down in Rock Hill.
Okay.
He's advised us and been to the site of Bryant Park, and we're just hoping to get this moved quickly and sooner than later to the point where we can bring him in and really work on design.
So when you and I know you're not the expert here on the actual particulars of designing a skate park, but if you're trying to design a skate park that emulates the streetscape, is it a specialty? I mean, do you have to know anything more than know how to build a sidewalk and park benches and staircases and stair railings?
I mean, you certainly do, Mike. I mean, and I'll put it out to Josh and Chuck in a second, but it looks a lot like a typical streetscape, but there are things about your push distances, heights, materiality, angles of approach, landing areas, things that get a little more technical that really make a difference for skaters. That's why in the urban environment, even though there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of spots, there are a few that really capture skaters' attention, either because they can gather there and not be harassed, or it's just the right combination of elements and they love it.
Downtown, what are the great places that skateboarders like to congregate?
They're less and less spots because you know, they're being regulated and policed. And
Let's take that out of the equation.
Okay,
where do they like to go?
You know, there's a spot not too far from here, a couple blocks away, near 7th Street Station. That is a ledge that has some angle iron on it and slopes upward. And you know, whenever people come to town, professionals that are visiting, you know, they always go to that spot and film. And it's been featured. It's featured in the latest Nike catalog for their skateboarding collection. So
I'm going to ask a stupid question. This is skiing is dangerous, but people do it, and no one even questions that part of it. Really, ice skating. You can really hurt yourself ice skating, but no one really questions that either. You can get hit in the head by a baseball and be pretty badly injured, and nobody cares about that. That's not a big top of mind
concern. In
fact,
statistics show that there's more injuries in those traditional sports than there are in skateboarding.
But to watch these guys and women do some of these tricks looks remarkably dangerous. And when we come back, I want to talk to you, Lee, about liability. If this is happening on a public space or in a private space, that's one thing. But at a park, what's the liability of the county for all that? We're going to come back and talk about that and the X Games in just a moment. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Coca-Cola Recycle and Win, an environmental partnership with the City of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County municipalities designed to support and increase recycling in our region. Details at CokeRecycleAndWin.com. The battle over same-sex marriage returns to the states. How the fight will play out in legislatures, courts, and ballot initiatives. The topic of the Diane Rehm Show coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to jump in on our our conversation about skateboarding, about skateboard parks, about the potential of Charlotte to becoming a home for a while, at least, to the X Games. Now's the time. WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks will get you to us every way imaginable. And if you want to call us and be on hold forever, 704-926-WFAE or 800-603-WFAE. We're coming right back.
From the moment you wake up.
Good morning. More than a third of the judgeships on a major U.S. circuit court are vacant.
Through your drive home.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this.
Listen all day, every day. NPR News, always on.
Morning Edition from 5 until 9.
And All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Josh Frazier is the owner of Black Sheep Skate Shop. We're talking about skateboarding in Charlotte this morning. I couldn't think of the name. Chuck Powell is a skateboarder and, for 28 years, a responsible, reliable, upstanding American.
That's right.
Lee Jones is Division Director of the Capital Planning Service for Mecklenburg County Park and Rec, and Ted Duncan is the Senior Associate with Stant Tech. They're designing the renovations of Bryant Park. What about liability on the county's part if somebody gets injured in an activity like skateboarding in an officially built and sanctioned skateboard park?
In an officially built and sanctioned skateboard park, if someone got injured and it was because they were not wearing the proper safety equipment that we'd be required to have them wear, the liability could say, well, why didn't you have them wear that? Why were they in there that way? And we got to think about, you're talking about a skull, worst case scenario, a skull going against concrete. We were already talking about how deep that bowl is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have had to protect that. Look at another one of our regional parks, U.S. National Whitewater Center, 400-acre historic Tuckasegee Ford Park. People go out there. You go whitewater rafting. You have to sign a waiver to do it, fill it out. You have to wear a helmet and a life jacket. Even though the flume where you go through, there's we already know what the depth of that is, but there are safety concerns. So the county has to protect itself to protect the residents.
You are a father of two boys.
Correct. Yep.
Chuck, how old are they?
They're 10 and 7, almost.
And when did they start skateboarding?
About a year ago. And
this is, I mean, how much of a daredevil are you at this? I mean, how much, what are you?
More so a few years ago than now, because I'm an old guy now. But, I mean, for my age, I guess, I don't like to call myself a daredevil. But, I mean, like any sport, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. I don't try to go beyond my limits.
Do you worry about your kids getting hurt?
A little bit, but at the same time, you know, I've had friends in other sports, soccer is an example. I grew up playing soccer as well, who got hurt a lot worse playing soccer than skateboarding. I mean, there's risk in anything you do. There's risk walking across the street. I think the main thing is you just have to know your limits, and how to fall safely is the biggest key in skateboarding and not getting hurt.
Put your headphones on for a second, and we'll take a call from Tom, who's calling us from York, South Carolina, and he has a question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions. First question, the gentleman just mentioned insurance waiver. Can a child legally sign an insurance waiver? That's the first question. And the second one is, the gentleman who mentioned that $200 is too much for a ticket, do these freewheeling independent thinkers carry insurance so that when they hit somebody in the street and injure them, who pays for that? And do they have liability, do they have health insurance for themselves when they crack their skull against the concrete that the guy just talked about?
All good questions. Are these questions that skateboarders think about, really? If they don't want to wear pads and helmets, and they're out there doing all these really tough things, scary stuff, do they think about insurance? Do they carry insurance?
I don't have any hard numbers or facts regarding that, but I would guess that it's the same percentage of non-skaters carrying insurance, probably pretty comparable to the percentage of skateboarders carrying insurance.
Let me turn the question around to you, Tom. Would you ask these same questions of skiers?
Or basketball players or softball players?
Well, basketball players and softball players aren't playing in the middle of a busy commercial street. skiers.
Well, sometimes they are, and kids used to play softball in the street all the time.
So it sounds to me like you recognize the need for public skateboard facilities to keep these guys off the street.
Tom, thank you for your call. Let me go to Sally in Charlotte. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm kind of wondering what I've noticed about the downtown skateboarding group, the kind of packs of teenage and young adults that roam in groups in the Center City area, is that they kind of have a disrespect for public and private property. They'll ramp off of private walls and fences and benches and the public art sculptures and kind of tear things up with various facilities downtown. And I think part of that is there's a thrill-seeking or a kind of counterculture flaunting of authority or seeing if they can get away with things there. And what I am wondering in your discussions about this park that you are designing is if that will actually satisfy that sort of, I don't know what it is, adolescent thrill-seeking aspect, or if it will actually direct the skateboarders downtown away from doing that, because part of the thrill of it seems to be with getting away with
I think that's just teenagers in general, whether they skateboard or not. Some they're going to be bad apples in any group.
But part of what we're, I think, talking about, the intent of a skate plaza and the success of those in other communities, what we've seen is, you know, with a purposeful design that mimics that street environment, they've been successful in getting kids away from the downtown areas and alleviating some of those pressures and frustrations.
Because I know that there was, I think, about $13,000 in damage or something near the Mint Museum caused by skateboarders skating on that property. I'm sure that they did not say one Saturday morning, let's go damage the Mint Museum. They just said, look at that, look what that offers us as skateboarders, and they went and did it. So, is that accurate in your head? I mean, so if you provided a location that was specifically set up for that, that would be as attractive as that kind of a property?
Yeah, I think it represents a great opportunity for us to, you know, create a skate plaza and incorporate elements of art and incorporate things that can be enjoyed by people outside of skateboarding as well as skateboarders.
There was an op-ed column in the Charlotte Observer written by a 19-year-old skateboarder, which was headlined, "The X Games in an Anti-Skateboard City." And in that column, he writes that our skateboard culture has grown and that its epicenter is the Camden Road area of South End, where you are located at Black Sheep. And he goes on to say that residents of nearby condominiums have repeatedly expressed frustration with the noise and danger the skaters represent. Skating can cause significant property damage and pose a hazard to other pedestrians. Actually, he talked about the damage at the Mint being $35,000, not $13,000. Would all of this stop? Would building a park like this be like the pressure release valve on a pressure cooker?
I think that it would. It's like addressing any other need. We've had needs at some of our greenways where there were not enough parking spaces. We build a parking lot. That competition for spaces goes down. The same thing, we see that we have to address this need for this recreation amenity and this desire for it, and we feel that if we do it and provide the type of features in it, it will help to address this concern.
Sally, thank you for your call. Josh mentioned that the skateboard park should be purposefully designed. I'm not sure what that means, but it means that it needs to fit the needs of the skaters today. But from what I'm hearing is that this is kind of fluid. In a way that the other skateboard park, Grayson's, was fine 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but the sport and the generational change in the sport has changed. How fluid is skateboarding? In other words, if we build this park at Bryant Park in 15 years, will it be obsolete?
And the best way I would, again, compare it to, say, look at skiing. You've got downhill skiing. You've got freestyle skiing. You've got different genres within a sport. Mm-hmm. Same thing with skateboarding. If you look at it on the X Games, you have the street style. You have the vert ramp. You have the big – and you have different
– So if you wanted to do bowl skating one Saturday, you'd go over to the other park. If you wanted to do street –
It's different styles. Okay. So it's not to say, you know – and at the end of the day you know, there is just a huge need for street skating.
How expensive
facilities
is it to build a place like this?
Looking at a skate park, it can range based on the size. It's truly about giving an opportunity. It's about getting that access, having that open. I think that's the cultural difference about wanting to be in, you know, traditional sports. there's lines, there's whistles, and there's usually adults.
Mm-hmm.
With skateboarding, they're often adults, as we've got here, but you know, there aren't lines, there aren't whistles. It's a freestyle, a free spirit. I think it's part of an expression of urban culture that is wonderful to have in the city. And I think what we have to really look at is giving spots that are affordable and manageable and safe.
We mentioned ESPN's X Games at the start of the program, that they might be coming to Charlotte. This is only one component of the X Games. And the X Games, if they came here, I understand, would be at the Speedway, probably. Is that correct?
Correct.
So do we need a skate park for the X Games to be attracted here, or as a statement to say we're serious about this and that's why we want you here?
I think it would show the ESPN, you know, decision makers who decide where to put the X Games that there's a big community and a, you know, culture that supports skateboarding and other extreme sports.
The X Games have been in LA for 11 years, and now are they looking to move? LA doesn't want them anymore.
I just think that they feel like it's time for a change.
Okay, and they're looking at Detroit, Chicago, Austin, and Charlotte. How did we get to be in the top four?
Good question. Do you know? Josh?
You know, I think motorsports is increasingly a larger component of the X Games. And, you know, obviously we have some strengths there. You know, I think with the Speedway, you know, we have a lot of infrastructure. We have ESPN has a lot of studios here, is my understanding.
They do.
So it makes a lot of sense from a broadcast perspective as well. You know, we've got a great airport. We've got, you know, the seating and the restaurants and the hotels around the Speedway. So I think all the pieces are there.
And I understand that this decision is being partially made on the basis of voting. Is that right?
No one knows for sure, but
the mysterious formula.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good look for Charlotte to show some community support.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't hurt
because Detroit's way in the lead on voting, and I guess that's citizens of Detroit wanting something. To
yeah,
come
they're
to
they're campaigning pretty yeah. hard for it. They put together a YouTube video that you know had explosions and rally cars downtown and helicopters and you know skateboarders and motocross. It looked like a major motion picture. So. Compared to Charlotte, what we've done in terms of social media, it hasn't been quite as strong a push here.
Yeah, but we would definitely like to encourage anyone who's listening to please spread the word. There are ways you can help support bringing the X Games to Charlotte, whether you're an extreme sports participant or not. It's a great economic boom to the area, and it would be fun to watch. Even if you've never seen this before, basically just go to X Games or ESPN's Facebook. You can vote for Charlotte. I think we're in third place now. Also
behind Detroit, and
Detroit's number one, I believe. Austin's number two.
Austin, well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to go. We need to beat Austin because they're not buttoned down.
Yep.
They're quirky.
Another thing I did about a month or two ago, I started an online petition. So if you just type in the internet X Games Charlotte petition, you can find it very easily. You can vote on there as well. So hopefully they're looking at that, and that'll help show our local support for bringing the X Games here too.
There are those, and this is not a joke, there are those in Charlotte who are planning to pitch for the Olympics at some point down the road. People laugh at that. They laughed at the idea of basketball. They laughed at the idea of the NFL. They laughed at the idea of the DNC.
I mean, if you
all
look,
the things came true. So
yeah.
If we are serious about wanting the Olympics, how important is this as a step toward that?
I think it's a great step toward that. I mean, if you look at Atlanta in 96, I would imagine Charlotte's pretty comparable in terms of size, you know. So I don't think the Olympics are out of reach for Charlotte. I think essentially the X Games are the Olympics, so to speak, of action sports. So I think it's a great step toward that. And, you know, Chuck mentioned the economic impact.
And if they – although people can see this on television, if they were to come here, one would presume that would heighten the awareness of skateboarding, and that would increase the need, would it not, for our parks to be involved in providing facilities for people who've been turned on to this by the presence of the X Games?
Most definitely. Bringing any sort of major athletic event, whether it's the X Games or the Olympics, would certainly heighten the sensitivity and awareness of having specific local recreation amenities available.
Let me share with you some emails that have come in the course of this program. And also some Twitter feeds. We've asked our Twitter followers if they would like to see the X Games come to Charlotte, and Huang Yi, a Mecklenburg County budget director, says yes. Anything edgy would be good for our image. That's from the budget director. Scott on Facebook says, my first skateboard was made of wood and had metal wheels, and I loved it.
So was mine.
These kids and some adults are every bit as artistic in their own ways as any dancer or musician. Nobody ever screams about a new art space the way they do about a skate park. That's not true. I've been here a long time, and they've screamed plenty about art, public art in this town. Charlie emails, there is a need, not necessarily for media attention, but we as skaters do want our space. There's a culture that wants to be out in the street, but nobody wants to feel ridiculed for what they love. There is often a negative perspective attached to skaters because people outside of the community just don't know what we're about. And there is a marketable appeal that can definitely boost Charlotte's economy. Shout out to Black Sheep, by the way.
Thanks very much.
And John emails, I'm a 40-year-old male who has been skating for almost 30 years and have traveled the country skating many public and private skate parks. What troubles me most about the state of public skate parks in Charlotte is the fact the city charges money to skate, the Grayson facility. 95% of all public concrete skate parks these days are free and unsupervised, just like the tennis and basketball courts in the very same parks. I've found that cities that have tried to pay-to-play structure almost always give it up, and the parks get much more use after they are free. And isn't that what the point is? To give kids a safe place to skate. Please discuss why that facility, which doesn't even offer lights for night skating like most public skate parks, feels they need to charge taxpayers money for its use.
We charge for the use of most types of facilities like that. The paradigm is the safety requirements are there. We need to protect the citizens, but we only open it up until 8 p.m. We have to take into consideration the surrounding areas, mm-hmm. the neighborhoods, the lighting, what that would do to the quality of life. And we've learned from what we did at Grayson Skate Park. Remember, that park was built almost 10 years ago. The whole dynamic has changed.
Will you be charging for Bryant Park?
I don't know, because we're going to do a different type of park. There are different type
but
of plaza.
But why do you charge for anything else in the parks?
Do we charge for anything else? If you want to rent a field, if you want to rent a tennis court, you know, rent, use, hold it for just your specific use, limiting the access to the other public, yes, we charge for that.
And Andy from Charlotte couldn't hold. He called us, but he said he wants to bust the stereotype. He's a self-described old guy who skates. We're not all young, reckless skaters, he says. One of the things that's been proposed for Eastland Mall, among other things,